Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
A miracle? No, friend, it's like the greatest miracle. In fact, the only way you came to know Jesus, if you got saved, if you gave your life to Jesus, it's because he spoke to you. Because as a lost person, somehow or the other, the Holy Spirit was communicating to you that you were lost and you needed Jesus. It wasn't just the words of men. That's not how you got saved. You got saved because God talked to you. And he talked to you at some level, somehow, some way, and you responded to him talking to you. You felt him nudging. You felt him leading. That's the Holy Spirit speaking. The greatest miracle is salvation, and the only way salvation happens is if God draws you, if God speaks to you, leads you, prompts you, and then you respond back to him. So the greatest miracle is actually God speaking. And all the stories I've been sharing in this series so far, I mean, I would say about half of them include some element or a number or another of God's voice, of God speaking. And maybe I didn't really go heavy on the God speaking part. I just kind of, you know, gave that. And then this miracle happened, and then this miracle happened. But so many of the stories include God speaking. And I just want to say it this way. It would be like, you know, man, it's like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with just bread if you're trying to do miracles without hearing the voice of God. I mean, you just got bread at the end of the day. It's like it's a whole lot more fun with peanut butter and jelly on the inside of it. The Holy Spirit speaking is the parameters, the help, the strength. So many miracles are related to being able to follow and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's so important. And so I want to give us this morning some promises about God speaking from the word, some instruction, a little bit of instruction, and then some stories, and stir you. My hope here is to stir you to want to hear God speak and to believe that you can hear him speak. And again, just think about that. You were lost. You didn't know him. And then he spoke. And again, however you might define that moment, he was speaking or you didn't get saved. Because you had to respond to the recognition that he's real and that he wants something. And even that revelation of his realness, it was a revelation you didn't have 5 minutes before that. That's him speaking. That's him leading, him drawing, him guiding. The greatest miracle is him speaking. And it doesn't stop when we get saved. In fact, it only just begins. And that's what makes a faith-filled life, a spirit-led life, so exciting, and it gives us access to a bajillion miracles and even the ways to navigate the things that the Lord wants to do in our life. Okay, so without further ado, let's jump in. We're going to go to John 16, 12 through 15. And so if we can get that up, is it possible to get that up on this screen too? Nope, okay. So John 16, 12 through 15. This is Jesus talking. I love this passage. This is so empowering, okay? This is the Son of God, and he starts off with, I have much more to say to you. I have much more to say to you, but I'm about to die on a cross and go up. So I'm not going to be able to say those words to you, but I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Now, this is Jesus making it clear that the Holy Spirit, one of his primary ministries, is going to be to talk to us. This is really cool. This is God talking about God. God the Son talking about God the Spirit and the way that God the Spirit is going to like change our life. And it's all about talking. Just he says he wants to say much more to us. He will say much more. And he's conveying, Jesus is saying, I'm going to talk to you, but I'm going to do it via the Holy Spirit. I'm going to check out. I've got another piece of the assignment here. But I'm going to send the Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. He will guide you. He will speak to you. He will tell you stuff. He will make things known to you. This is God talking. Guys, I want to tell you, God today talks to people. And I don't mean just the high-level prophets. This is Jesus talking to Christians. Jesus is saying, you're my disciples. How am I going to continue to disciple you if I can't talk to you? It's not going to be enough that I've written down truths in the Bible unless the Word of God is active. But if it's active, that means he's talking. See, that's what active means. Unless the Word of God is active, unless God is talking, Jesus says, I've got so much more I want to say to you, but the Bible doesn't tell you what to do on a Tuesday in a situation at work with this particular person that really bugs you. I mean, it doesn't tell you exactly what they need to hear, but the Holy Spirit can guide us. The Holy Spirit can say much more to us, can speak to us, can tell us stuff, can show us to make things known to us. I remember being, you know, just a few months old in the Lord and reading verses like this and not having any framework that God doesn't speak. All I knew is I got saved because I felt God and I knew I was a lost person and I needed God and that he was offering me salvation. I knew I had that revelation. And I'm like, well, then keep talking to me. I'm reading verses like this and I'm getting my world rocked because I'm understanding rightly that the Bible tells us that God still talks. It's not for the special, it's not for the elite, it's not for the ones that have gone to God Talks school. It's for people who love Jesus. If you love Jesus, he can speak to you. He wants to speak to you. Let me keep giving you some verses. This is today, I'm half wanting to fill you with faith for God speaking to you. And then second, wanting to share some stories and some instruction. So the next verse I want to share with you is John 15, verse 26. The role of the Holy Spirit to testify. To testify means to talk about, to give information about another or about a situation. All right, when the counselor comes, this is John 15, verse 26. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. This is Jesus saying, I'm going to send the counselor, which by the way, counselors, if they're worth anything, they talk. Okay, any counselor listens and talks, all right? And so the counselor, when he comes, who, by the way, I'm going to send from the Father. So Jesus is making it really clear. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we're all in this thing together. We're all about talking to you. He's going to testify about me. So the role of the Holy Spirit is to testify about Jesus. That is, instruct us about him. Instruct us about what he wants, about who he is, about what he's done, about what he will do. Next couple of verses, John 14, 26, and then 1 John 2, 27. I put these together because both of them talk about the Spirit teaching us. John 14, 26 says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. All things? Guys, this is like a blank check. The Holy Spirit, you don't know something? You're stupid? You're stupid like me? The Holy Spirit will teach you anything you want to know. All things. All things. All. If it's a thing, he knows it and he can teach it to you. Calculus. The Holy Spirit can teach you calculus. He can teach you all things. Furthermore, Jesus is testifying. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Now, the only way you can be taught is if it's communicated. Somehow it's got to be communicated, meaning he can talk. The Holy Spirit talks to people. The Holy Spirit talks to you if you want to hear him. 1 John 2:27, the anointing, it's actually talking about the Holy Spirit here, abides in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you, but as that same anointing teaches you concerning all things. There it is again. The Holy Spirit teaching you all things. Holy Spirit inside of you. Now, here's a little caveat on the teaching thing. I was like the worst student ever in elementary, junior high, and high school. Like, if you had me in your class, it was bad for you, and it was bad for me because I wasn't going to learn anything. I was just going to spend the whole class goofing off, trying to disrupt things and, you know, figure out a way to make it look like the teacher made a farty noise. I mean, my entire objective in class was not to be taught. And so, therefore, I learned nothing in high school. I learned nothing. I graduated with, like, the dumbest average. I cheated my way through. Don't you cheat. I was lost. You got no excuse. I was so dumb. I knew nothing. Here's my point. You being in a classroom setting with the greatest teacher in the world does not mean you will learn. You have got to position yourself to hear from that teacher, to be instructed. It's not enough that you exist. You've got to incline your ear. I had some great teachers. There were actually some teachers that were like, you know, acknowledged and recommended, accommodated. I don't know what the word is, but they were a state level and even national level teachers that were like great. They were all-star. I didn't learn anything. I can't tell you one thing I learned in high school from a teacher. I learned a lot of things I probably shouldn't have learned. But that's because I wasn't paying attention. In fact, I was totally the opposite of paying attention. And so it's important that we understand that the teacher will not force that teaching upon you. It does require a receptive heart, a receptive posture, an intentional learning posture. But if you're a learner, he is a teacher, and he will speak to you. All right, this all means God wants to talk to us. To me, this is like the coolest thing ever. If you're ever bored, I'm just thinking about sometimes when my kids are like, I'm so bored. Sometimes I'm telling them, like, just ask God something. Like, talk to God. Because he's always willing to talk. He's always in a talking mood at some level, some way, some. He may want to talk about this, and you might want to talk about this, but he's willing to talk. He is a teacher. He likes to talk to us. It's in his nature. You know, he's the one that formed human relationships. Like, human relationships are just a shadow of the real relationship that God wants to have with humans, which includes interaction and jokes and, you know, enjoying one another and communication. And so the very fact of human interaction and human communication is actually a testimony of the way that God is, what he's like. He likes to talk to people. Well, my hope here in all this is to try to get us hearing his voice, to try to get us pressing in, learning, stirring us to reach. Some of you might be like that, you know, me in high school in the class going, man, I'm tired of not learning. I'm tired of being in the classroom and not walking away with anything to equip me for the test or life, or I just feel like I'm wasting my time in here. I want to stir you. I want to encourage you. You can hear his voice, but you've got to start to press in. You've got to start to posture yourself. And I'll give you a couple of little tips on that here in this session. All right. We're all familiar with Luke 11, 9 through 10. It's a verse that we know. Luke 11, 9 through 10, the ask, seek, knock passage. You know that one? Yeah. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And him who knocks, the door will be opened. But very similarly, the one who doesn't ask, the one who doesn't seek, and the one who doesn't knock, there ain't no door open and nobody talking. This is a really simple principle that applies greatly in the scenario of us trying to hear God speak. We've got to ask him stuff. Did you guys notice in the ministry time, before Luke would just start prophesying, he'd start asking, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say about this person? What do you want to say to this person? Give me something. Like, Luke didn't presume to just know. He asked the Holy Spirit, tell me something about this person. And then he'd start to see things and have impressions and hear little phrases and see pictures. Like, that's how this works. We've got to ask, we've got to seek, we've got to knock. But here's the great news. You're like, I don't know how to do this. I don't feel equipped. I don't think God will speak to me. That's a lie. Ask him. Seek him. Knock on that door. He will come to the door with a big smile and you'll be shocked. You're like, well, I'll be darned. Jesus came to the door. And if he's there smiling at you, I promise he'll talk too. Ask, seek, knock. We want to apply this verse in our pursuit of hearing God speak to us. Each of you today that's watching this or that will listen later, you can hear him speak because you're a child of God. What parent punishes their kid, especially a good parent? It's like, I'll be your daddy, but I'm not going to talk to you. Well, you can call me Paul, but don't you be wanting to talk to me over dinner time. Don't ask me questions. Don't you look at me that way like I'm going to say something to you. I barely even like you. That's a lie. He's a good father. He likes to talk to his children. And he talks in a thousand ways. You can hear his voice. You can. And he wants to speak to you. All right, let's go back to the John 16, verse 13 verse, because this one is wild. I want to talk about some of the ways that he speaks. Even before I do that on this ask, seek, knock thing, guys, this is unbelievable. He is willing to talk to us. We have to invest a little bit of effort, but it pays like the biggest dividends ever. Like, you do have to actually ask, seek, knock, but then you hear God talk, the one who made the universe. I mean, what price would you not pay to hear the God who made the universe talk to little you and say stuff to you? It's the coolest thing ever. So we do have to invest a little bit, but just a little, just a little. He will speak. All right, well, what are some of the things that he'll say? John 16, verse 13. Spirit of truth comes. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own. Lots of speak talk here. He'll speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit will tell you the future. Friends, this is the coolest. You have a Bible verse that says the Holy Spirit will tell you the future. That is so awesome. I want to know the future. I want to hear the Holy Spirit tell me the future. He will tell you what is yet to come. What is that if that's not the future? Tell you future things. Tell you future realities. Tell you what's yet to come about your life, about others' lives, about the future of America, about what's happening in the world. He will tell you the future. Guys, that is unbelievable. This is like, I can't even believe that he would give like five-year-olds in the spirit this kind of a superpower. To know the future, you can know the future. The Holy Spirit will show you what is yet to come. He will tell you what's yet to come. Guys, press in for that. Holy Spirit, speak to Forerunner Fellowship, the future. Speak to the individuals, the future. Start speaking to our kids, the future. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now in Jesus' name, release understanding of future realities to our children. That our kids would begin to come up to us with clarity from you, not from their own selves, not from their imagination only, from you, and begin to tell us the future in Jesus' name. Guys, this is Bible. This is the same Bible that says God so loved the world that he gave. The same Bible. You know, sometimes we make certain Bible verses like mean more or matter or be real. And then we make other Bible verses that might even be in the same book like, oh, I don't know, John 3:16 versus John 16:13, same John. We make some verses like, oh, that's a real verse. But then other verses are like, I don't know if I really believe that one. Believe this one. He'll tell you the future. That's so powerful. Next, he'll reveal his plans to us. Amos 3:7. I love this verse. He'll reveal his plans to us. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Revealing his plan. You know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? The New Testament, every believer has the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Every believer can hear him speak. But look at this. He'll reveal his plan. I mean, what kind of general reveals the plans, the battle strategies to like the most recently enlisted, you know, new person in the army? Like they just showed up. They just showed up for active duty. They've been in the army for all of 15 minutes. You got saved 15 minutes ago. Congratulations. He's willing to reveal his plans to you. His plans. This is so cool to know not just the future, but to know God's purposes, his plans, his objectives. You can know what God is doing and what he wants to do and what he's accomplishing. You know, he's always playing that 10-dimensional chess. So he's always accomplishing 1,000 things all in one moment. He can tell you his plans. He can tell you what he's doing. Guys, it's Bible verses. Him revealing even his plans to us. How about this? Him telling us his secrets. I love that God has secrets. Like, I've got secrets. I've got some stuff I don't want y'all knowing. God has secrets, and he says, listen, I'll even tell you my secrets. Like, I'll give you the good stuff. Look at this, Psalm 25:12-14. Psalm 25:12-14, and then also Daniel 2:27. This is just talking about the nature of God. These are just aspects about God. So Psalm 25:12, who then is the man that fears the Lord? So this is just talking about run-of-the-mill person that fears the Lord. If you fear the Lord, these Bible verses apply to you. And if you don't fear the Lord, you need to get some fear on right now, okay? Who then is the man that fears the Lord? God, he will instruct that person in the way chosen for him. He will instruct that person in the way. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. He confides. You know what it is to confide? It's to tell things that are not publicly known. It's to share the intimate things of the heart. It's to share the secrets, the secret plans. God says, who is this person that will get this kind of information? The one who fears him. See, that's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You don't know God unless you fear God. That's the beginning of wisdom. It's the starting point is the fear of the Lord. So if you don't fear the Lord, you don't yet know him. And it's okay, just quit that. Like quit not knowing him and start knowing him right now. It's great. Just go, God, I need you. I give you my sins. I give you my life. I'm yours. And then he goes, awesome, I'll take this deal. I'll cleanse you, I'll fill you, and then I'll lead you. But then you've got to follow me all the rest of your days. That is the hang up. You got to follow Jesus. You can't just say, I love you, and then do whatever you want. It's actually a lifestyle of following him. But for those who fear the Lord, check this out. He confides in them. God confides in a person? This is crazy. And what's the prerequisite? I've just got to fear him and follow him and receive free salvation and love him. And then he'll confide in me. He'll tell me secrets. That is so incredible. Daniel, chapter 2, verse 27, Daniel says similarly, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Who reveals mysteries? Who tells secrets? Who makes things known that are not understood? He's a secret-telling God. There is a God in heaven who is willing to reveal mysteries, things that are not known by man, things that are not commonly understood. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. That is awesome. That is so profound. Here is a God in heaven. All right, how about 2 Thessalonians 3. Now, you wouldn't normally maybe think of this as a God speaks prophetic voice kind of a verse, but this verse strikes me because I've had it happen a number of times, and I'm going to share one of those stories in a little bit. Look what Paul says to the church of Thessalonica, all right? He says, we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we commanded. Let me go over this again. We have confidence in the Lord. We have a confidence that doesn't come from ourselves. It doesn't come from our own understanding. It doesn't come from how awesome of Bible teachers we are. We have a confidence that comes from Jesus. We have a confidence of what? A confidence of two things. Right now, though I can't see you and I'm writing you a letter, I have confidence you're doing what I commanded you to do. I know it by the Spirit. I have confidence in my spirit. This is not Paul having like warm, fuzzy pep talk like, I have confidence, you better be doing it. This is him saying, I actually know you're doing it. I know you're doing it. I even know prophetically you're going to continue to. Says, we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. See, the Lord can give confidence. It's one of the ways that he speaks. It's actually, you've had this happen so many times, and you didn't even realize it. You called it a hunch. You just kind of knew something. You didn't even know why you knew it. You just had this confidence, like, that's going to happen. And then it happened. Is that because you're cool? You're not cool. You're just like me. Not cool. It's not about you. We have confidence in ourselves? No, no, no. We have confidence in the Lord. There is a confidence that comes in the communication that the Lord gives us. There are so many times that the Lord speaks to us by just a subtle confidence that's in our spirit that we're like, that's God. That's God talking to you. He speaks. It's so good. Okay, I've given you a few of just kind of the ways that he speaks or whatever. I've got to get to stories, I promise. But before I do, I got to give a little bit of a disclaimer. I got to give a little bit of a warning, okay? Man, those first couple of years were tough. I just want to warn you. This is like winning the lottery, and then after you won the lottery, what you did with the lottery money was you went out and bought a bajillion lottery tickets, and every single ticket was another lottery winning. Okay, that's how good of a deal this is, all right? It just so happens that the first lottery ticket you have to buy costs $1 billion. It's kind of costly. Like, learning how to hear the voice of the Lord, it's a little tricky. It's a little tough. I don't want to sell it as, it's easy, it's no problem, because he wants to cause you problems in order to produce humility. It's actually part of the package. I want to give you a little bit of what comes in the process of learning his, I like the term. When I first came to know the Lord, I thought it was kind of a dumb religious term, but the more that I think about the way that the Lord speaks so frequently, I really like the term still small voice. I like that term because I think it's so descriptive of the way that he talks to us most of the time. The problem is if it's still and we're busy, we won't hear it. If it's small and we're looking for big, we won't hear it. That's the problem with still small voice. It's kind of a bit of a problem. I'm going to give you one of the Bible passages that helps, I think, paint the picture of that still small voice so well. It's in 1 Kings 19:11-13. Now, this is Elijah, and he's having an encounter with the Lord. And just so often, it's a still small voice. And I'm giving you this part of the teaching today to, like, prepare you. Because you're about to go on a journey if you say yes to this. If you heard the ministry time and you're like, I want to do that. If you hear these teachings and you're like, I want to do that. If you hear these Bible verses like, I want to know the future. I want to tell you, you can know the future. But he doesn't make it so easy. He does want us to reach. And there's important, there's so much relationship that gets developed in reaching. There's so much intimacy that gets formed. There's so much safety in God being able to trust you because you're one that waits on the Lord instead of one that just wants the, you know, the drive-by quick, I want it easy, I want it now. It takes some time to develop this. But you know what happens with sweet friendships that are cultivated over the course of time? Then you can finish each other's sentences. It's not hard anymore. Year 10, you know, into a friendship, oh, you guys just finish each other's sentences. If you go, you know, a few weeks without seeing each other and you see each other, oh man, there's just so much joy. And I mean, you know each other so well. So I want to tell you, this learning to hear God's voice, there is a front end price. That it takes a little bit of effort. It takes some mistakes that are not so much fun sometimes. 1 Kings 19:11. This is Elijah having an encounter with the Lord. Then a great and powerful wind tore through the mountains, but the Lord was not in the wind. See, that's big. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Too big. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. It's too overt, too obvious. I mean, if you see a giant fire on the side of the road, you don't ever pass that accidentally and don't know it. If you see a giant fire, you see it. He says, yeah, but God wasn't in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard the gentle whisper, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then he heard a voice say to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? There's this hope and want that God's always going to do it big and loud. And so many times, it's a whisper that we have to really listen for. And do you notice, even after Elijah heard the whisper, he put his cloak over his head. I think what he was doing was he was trying to further block out any sensory that might distract him. He's covering his ears, he's covering his face, he's putting the cloak over him, and then he stands at the opening to a cave. I think he's looking into the cave, into darkness. And he's just waiting there, listening. He's dialed down so he can hear the whisper. It's a still, small voice. This is the prophet Elijah, and how Elijah would hear the voice of the Lord sometimes. Still, small voice, a little whisper. If that's for Elijah, it's for you and me. But it also means it's for you and me. And I have a good news for you. The Bible says Elijah was a man just like us. Okay? Dude was a dude. I mean, he had bad moods and weird hankerings and, you know, all kinds of stuff. I mean, he was a dude. And you're a dude or a dudette, and God can speak to us. And he wants to. But I want to give you this clarity. Many, many times, it's a whisper. And the problem with that is we don't like to listen for whispers. We want it loud and now and overt. We don't want to have to sift through all the stuff and then dial down and then listen intently and then put the cloak over our head and really shut out everything and dial down in our spirit and get quiet and listen. We don't want to do that. And God says, well, if you don't want to do that, that's mostly where you'll find me, at least on the front end as you're learning to hear me. And if you're unwilling to do that, you will go your whole life and not hear the voice of the Lord, but not because he's unwilling to speak. Because we're unwilling to listen. Remember I was telling you earlier about me in high school? Yeah. I think all of us are like me in high school, related to hearing the voice of the Lord. We've got to dial down. We've got to slow down and listen. I want to tell you this. I believe this with all my heart. I think one of the most important, essential skills for every Christian is learning how to hear the voice of the Lord. I think it is one of the most essential, and it's tragic that so many in the body of Christ don't know how to hear his voice and go their whole life that way. It's totally unnecessary. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. He couldn't get any closer. He's in your guts. You've just got to listen to the Holy Spirit and learn to tune your ear and to hear him. I think this skill, I mean, listen, I appreciate all the different things that the Bible says about how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do, I think this is one of the most essential components of the Christian life, that we learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I also think it's a highly neglected skill set. We must learn how to hear his voice. It's so important. Well, part of the reason that we don't, I told you this a minute ago, we're living massively distracted. If it's a still small voice, it's not likely, especially on the front end, as you're learning to identify his voice, that if you're busy, 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 and everything's loud, and the music's always on, and everything's always going, and you're always on your phone, it is unlikely that you are going to hear his voice because you're living so distracted. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. But you've got to wait on the Lord. And I just want to tell you, wait on the Lord, it really means like quiet yourself on the inside before God. You got to be spending time alone, quiet. Think of Elijah in front of that cave with the cloak over his head, kind of looking a little spiritual for the moment, you know? He's like, you know, all Old Testament prophet weirdy, okay? You got to get Old Testament prophet weirdy to start hearing his voice. Now, some of you, it's just totally unfair and God just made it easy for you, and I'm mad at all of you. Because that was not how it was for me, okay? It was not easy. And so anybody that's like, it's easy, don't listen to them. You listen to me, okay? Because I'm the prototype on this one, I promise you. There's just a few of you that are just going to have it easy. I just hear God's voice, no problem. It's not a no problem situation. It's a problem. It's Elijah putting the cloak over his head, having to sit quiet in a room to learn how to hear the Holy Spirit. That's the normal. If it just so happens that God made it easier for you, good. Don't tell anybody because I'll be mad at you. The most of us have just got to go through the process. You got to dial down. You got to get quiet in your soul. And I'll tell you this, it was so frustrating to me when I would start to do this. I was a guy that loved the Bible. I mean, I was, you know, active in ministry. I'd cut out a lot of things in my life. But when I was starting to go after this, I would have to get quiet. I hope it's not this hard for you. I would have to physically stick my fingers in my ears so that I could hear nothing except the quietness and the sound of my own heartbeat. I mean, I would have to get that quiet in order to dial down. It's not like that anymore. I'm 20 years in now. I can hear his voice. It's awesome, but I had to learn. I would have to get really quiet, and I'd have to sit there, and then I'd have to take my thoughts captive because they'd been racing. They'd be all over the place. I'd be thinking about, what am I going to do? Oh, wait, I'm hungry. Oh, I forgot to do this thing. Oh, tomorrow I'm supposed to meet that person. Oh, I better make that phone call. I had to start to shut my mind up and go, quiet, be still, and know that I'm God. And I'll be exalted in the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. That's what Psalm 46:10 says. Quiet your mind. We also know that we're to take our thoughts captive. I had to learn to dial down and get quiet and go, oh, God, please just speak. And in quietness, I would begin. It took a while. I think it took longer for me than it will take for most of you. It took me a while to begin to hear the little whisper. But you can hear it. You know what? The Lord knew I was going to be a Bible teacher. He knew all that. I think he made it hard on me on purpose so that I could kind of cover the whole gambit. You know, those that it's going to be super hard, kind of hard, a little bit easy, really easy. Because my journey on this was so hard, but I learned how to hear his voice, and you can too. But you've got to quiet yourself. And if you're distracted, you won't hear it. Now, another disclaimer. This is another tough one. I can't make this sound like this is going to be so easy and effortless without giving you some of the warnings, okay? Because there are warnings. But again, it's winning the lottery and then winning a billion lotteries. It's the best thing ever. It's essential for every believer. But it does take a little bit of work on the front end. He requires acts of faith in order for you to grow in hearing his voice. We all know the verse, Matthew 25, verse 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. This is a kingdom principle. This is an eternal promise, but it's also a kingdom principle about how God operates the kingdom of God. If God speaks to you a little and you do nothing with it, you'll probably camp out there for the rest of your life. The problem is, if he speaks to you a little, you have to act on it. And acting on it, you might look stupid, you might be wrong, you might have the right word but say it wrong. You might say it right, but be in a bad mood, or they're in a bad mood. You might say it, you do everything right, but they're in a bad mood, and it's their fault, and it still go bad for you. But the Lord requires acts of obedience, of acts of faith in order to grow. It's impossible to please God without faith. So when we hear the Lord speak, we got to like try to do what he said. Try to believe what he said. Try to act out on what he said. And if you will, you'll grow. and he'll give you more, and he'll give you more, and he'll give you more. But oh, let me tell you what he will give you as well. All sorts of opportunities to look so dumb and to quit. He will give you ample reason to quit. Give you the verse that you're probably already thinking of. John 6, verse 60 and following. This is Jesus trying to make truth hard and easy at the same time. On hearing this, many of Jesus' disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept this? I do not like what you just said, Jesus." And from this time on, many of his disciples turned back and they no longer followed him. Jesus, he then points to his disciples, his 12. He says, "Do you want to leave too?" Peter answered, "Lord, whom shall we go after? You have the words of eternal life." I want to tell you, in this journey of learning how to hear him speak, there will be times where you press in and press in and press in and you hear nothing, and that will frustrate you. Are you going to quit? There'll be times where you only hear, but you hear it, or where you hear, but you only hear it quietly and barely. Was that even you? Oh man, God, I need you to whisper a little loud. If we're going to do the whisper game, you figure out how to yell whisper at me. It's like, if he just barely speaks, are you going to quit? You'll experience times where you hear wrong. You heard something, you heard it wrong, or you interpreted it wrong, or you did the wrong thing with it. There'll be times where he's just going to say confusing stuff on purpose. Will you quit? What if hearing the voice of the Lord requires you going through these tests? I'm telling you, it does. And oh man, there were some painful moments in my walk with the Lord. Listen, y'all are, this is easy for you. You're blessed. You're in small groups. If you're not in a small group, get in a small group. You're in small groups, so you've got peers to help you, and you've got small group leaders to help you. I didn't have any of that. So I'm trying to figure out how to hear the voice of the Lord at a church that doesn't believe that God speaks. And I'm trying to hear his voice and like practice all this on my own. And like, I'd hear him speak about something. I go and I try. I mean, I don't know how many times I got in my car and went to go do the thing that I felt like the Lord said. And I get to where I thought I was supposed to do the thing and there wasn't even anything there. I'd be like, dang, I'm a dummy. But I just felt the Lord said, it's impossible to please me without faith. You just pleased me. So this ordeal wasn't even about me hearing the right thing. It was about me willing to go do something stupid for you just because like, you're like seeing if I'll stay the course even. And then the hardest part wasn't that act of obedience. The hardest part was the next one. Because I'm like, last time, you remember last time when I did the thing and nothing happened, where I did the thing and it worked out bad for me, where I did the thing and I was a dummy. I want to tell you guys, this is part of the process, and too many people start the journey and quit because it's difficult. Don't quit. You can hear the voice of the Lord, but he will not make it super duper easy. It's a whisper. And we want wind, earthquake, and fire, okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm not really in that. I'm in the whisper, okay? Sometimes you'll miss it. I've had plenty of times I just heard wrong. I got so many stories where I heard right, but then I did the wrong application. I had to learn. It's part of learning. You're learning. You're disciples. You're being learned. You're being trained. You're learning how to hear him and how to respond rightly. This is part of the deal. The Lord sets us up sometimes to make it look like we missed it. And then only later, after we've already looked dumb, does he make it clear we actually had the word, but he wasn't after us getting glory in that moment. He actually just wanted us to be obedient and sign up again. And then later he goes, yeah, actually, that was right on. And you see it because some circumstance or something. I've had so many of those happen. Sometimes we get it right, but people don't respond honestly or don't respond rightly. Like, you've got it. You've got the word. You're like, hey, does that mean anything to you? Nope, doesn't mean anything to me. Shut up and leave. And you totally just read their mail. See, you're not in charge of their response. All you're in charge of is trying to hear him and act on it. Also, there's times when someone's response changes God's response. You remember Nineveh and Jonah? Jonah was like, I'm going to go give them the prophetic word, and I'm already pre-mad at God and at them because I know if I give them the word, they're going to repent, and then God won't do the prophetic word that I'm about to give, and I'm going to look like a dumb prophet. Yep, that's part of the deal too. See, this isn't about us. It's about him. We're getting to be a pawn in his kingdom, being used to do really cool stuff. It's so cool, but it's not about you. It's not about you looking cool. It's not about you looking right. And then, of course, timing is always the most difficult dimension of the prophetic. You can have the right on word and the date totally wrong. It might be 10 years from now. April 30th, this thing's going to happen. What if it's April 30th, 2029? And you think it's 10 days from now. I mean, it could be that. The timing is always the hardest. The Lord writes it all in to humble us, and it's so good. All right, now I'm going to share some stories. And I just want to make it clear, I mean, in the midst of how many times I just told you I would get it wrong, I would try, I wouldn't hear anything, I'd hear something, but not, you know, in the right timing or whatever. There's a lot of stories that I'm about to share and that I'm going to share in this series as we touch on different ways that the Lord gives us miracles. But this is not like this was happening to me every single day of my life. You know, there was a lot of journey and process, but the fact that I've got one story to tell is worth it. One time where God spoke, so worth it. You remember I told you in a couple of sessions ago that there was a season of time where I was at that church and I was serving in the youth ministry, and I felt the Lord give me like really clear instructions that I wasn't supposed to take money for services rendered. If somebody wanted to just give me money, I could get money. And so I grew very clear in those early days of the difference between money that I worked for and money that was given to me that I didn't do nothing to get. Well, the way that I got that, the way that I knew that is, I felt the Holy Spirit instructing me. Remember we were talking earlier that he will guide us, he'll instruct us, he'll lead us. I felt the Holy Spirit instructing me into that season, into those parameters. Like, and the best way I can say it is, I'd go to take the money and I'd just feel the Holy Spirit like, uh-uh. That's him talking. I just feel in my stomach like a sickness, like sick to my stomach, like I want to take that money. It's money. Money's great. Money buys things. I'm hungry. I want a burger. I'm going to take that money. And I just feel in my spirit like I'm not supposed to take that money. That's the Holy Spirit instructing us. See, that's him speaking. We don't want to neglect that. We don't want to turn away from that. We don't want to downplay that like that's not God talk. It's him speaking to you. I can't believe that God would speak to me about anything, especially day-to-day stuff. Well, that season of time, the Lord took care of me at every turn. But I was operating out of Holy Spirit instruction. Now, that's not normal. That's instruction is actually like in addition to what the Bible says. You know, instruction is more information that helps inform how you're supposed to navigate a specific relationship, a specific circumstance, a specific day, a specific task. Instruction. Holy Spirit assigned instruction for you in that circumstance right now. It's not for everybody, everywhere, all times. It's for you in that circumstance right now. Well, we can get that sort of instruction from the Holy Spirit about, Lord, how do you want me to go to work every day? Do you want me to drive the path that makes the most sense? Or do you have a different route for me? What if the Lord's got some crazy thing in that different route and he wants you to take it every day? That would be weird. That's not in the Bible. It doesn't tell you to take, you know, left instead of a right or whatever. Like, what if the Lord would give you instruction about your work, your circumstances, your relationships? Instructions. See, he will. And so in those days, for a couple of years, I was operating out of that instruction. Don't take money for work that you do. Wait for the Lord to supply the finances. Well, that's really bizarre instruction, but it worked. Wisdom is proved right by your children. The Holy Spirit provided for me again and again. All right, let me give you one where the Lord revealed something to me. All right, so I was in that youth group, and there was a group of students that I felt a measure of, like, taking spiritual responsibility as much as I could over them. And I'm so glad that I did, because there are a few of them that are around here still. And so anyway, there was this group, and there was about, I don't know, maybe 25 of them, and I just decided I'm going to pray for these every single day. And so I was praying for these specific, well, all of them, but I was praying for these three girls that were part of the youth group. They were all in the same grade. And one day as I was praying for them, I immediately started to feel the Holy Spirit tell me they were at a party last night. It was a Sunday. And I felt the Lord tell me they were at a party last night, Saturday night, and here's what they did. This one did this. This one did this. This one was doing this. This started giving me all these details that there's no way for me to know. There's no way for me to know they were at a party, one. There's certainly no way for me to know all these details, but the Lord was revealing it to me. I'm in a time of prayer. That's a trustworthy posture. I'm praying. I pray for these girls every day. That's a trustworthy posture. And now I'm not trying to make up anything. All of a sudden, I just feel the Lord telling me this stuff. And I'm like, dang, this is either real or this is like a really bad joke. But I feel like I know what's going on with them. And I feel like the Lord wants me to kindly call them out so that they know God sees them and that he speaks and that he cares deeply about them. So the next day at church or in the church setting or whatever, I went and got one of our female leaders and I said, hey, will you come with me real quick? I want to just come with me. It was a friend of mine. I was like, just come. That way there was a witness, you know, and I'm going to anyway. So I get her and then I get the three girls and we go into this one of the rooms or whatever. And I go, girls, I just want you to know God sees you. And he is jealous for relationship with you, but you're playing games. No, we're not. We love God. Let me tell you what you did at the party last night. You did this, this, and this. You did this, this. You did this. And they start looking at each other. One of them instantly gets up, throws down whatever was in her hand. He goes, he's a prophet. He's a prophet. Starts pacing back and forth in a frenzy. She is freaked out of her mind. The other two are going, shut up. He doesn't know. And then the leader's going, girls, is this what's going on? And it was like pandemonium. It was crazy. They're going, oh my gosh. And I'm like, I was just praying for y'all yesterday. I just want you to know God sees you. He loves you. And he has a plan for your life. And you're playing games with him right now. And then I was like, drop the mic. I walked out and I let the female leader handle the rest of it. I was like, I did my part. And I was like, I just left those girls. I mean, they came up to me years later and were like, that moment marked me. Like, I couldn't believe that God saw me. Because they got it. It wasn't about me. I'm just some dude. They saw that God saw them. Because the details, I mean, it wasn't just at the party. It was specifics. It blew their mind. God reveals stuff to us. Sometimes for us, sometimes for ministry. All right, there was another time. There was another day I was praying through this list. And this was a different girl in the youth group. And this girl in the youth group was like kind of one of the stars of the youth group. She was like the one that like everybody thought never did anything wrong and like was kind of teacher's pet kind of thing. And you know, her parents were real involved in the ministry. And I knew them and I knew her. And I'm praying for her one day because I was praying through this list every day. It's just what I did. And I immediately heard the Holy Spirit tell me she's in sexual immorality, but she wants out so bad, and I want to help her. I was like, there's no way that girl is in immorality. There's just no way. And I just heard the Lord say, she's in sexual immorality, but I want to help her. She wants out. Tell her that I know she wants out, and I want to help her. And I was like, oh, this is a tough one because, like, this girl is not in sexual immorality. You know, I'm like, oh, man. And so I go and I, you know, we were somehow, you know, in a setting where I didn't need to be in a private room. It was, you know, like a public area or whatever, but I was kind of off to the side, a bunch of people walking around. And I said, listen, go, you know, I pray for you every day, right? And she said, yeah. And I said, I feel like the Lord showed me that you're in sexual immorality, but that you want out so bad, and he wants to help you. And immediately she started crying, instantly, tears pouring down her face. She goes, I can't believe it. Me and my boyfriend, we just started messing up this week. I want out so bad. I don't want to be in this, Brad. I hate it. I hate this, and I don't want to be in this. I want it so bad. We messed up this one time. We've always been doing so good, but this week we messed up, and then we did it again the 2 days later, and I don't want to be in this situation. I want out. I said, the Lord is giving you this. He's promising you he will help you out of this situation. He loves you. He sees you, and he wants to help you. It wasn't to condemn her and make her feel dumb and bad. It was to give her a lifeline and say, come up out of that. The Lord was showing her that he knew exactly what was going on. All right, I'm going to give you one of those confidence moments. This was a funny one. All right. So in the early days of the prayer room and of the church, we were still, you know, in the living room days, all right? And one day, Brett Ader goes missing. And, I mean, he lives at my house, you know, so it's like, and he, I mean, I love the dude, but his social life wasn't that wild, so it's not like he would have just gone off and done some crazy, you know, when it's not like he just went to Vegas or something, I'm like, and so it's been a few hours into the next day, and people are like, hey, where's Brett? Where's the dude at? And I was like, I don't know. And then a day goes by. And it's like, where is this dude? And 2 days go by. And we're like, at this point, we've got, like, according to the legal grounds or whatever, to be able to file a missing persons report. And so people are, like, freaked out because we don't hear from him. He's not picking up his phone. We can't get a hold of him. We got nothing. I mean, this guy is gone. And it's like people are calling around to, you know, the morgues and the hospitals and, like, where is this guy? His parents are calling me and, like, where is our son? I'm like, I don't know. And everybody's like, why aren't you doing more? There's just so much, like, Brad, you're the leader. This guy's gone. Why aren't you doing anything? And I was like, guys, I just have this confidence. He's fine. I go, wherever he is, this is going to be a great story later. I go, he's fine. No, he could be this. He's not that. I just know in my spirit, he's fine. Like, I'm not even going to act out in the natural process of anxiety because he's fine. And it was very frustrating for some people because they're like, you are not leading right now. You need to fix this. And I was like, listen, I'll make a few phone calls, but he's fine. Well, where is he? I don't have a clue about that, which would be great, Lord, if you'd give me just one step more, then he's fine. But I just knew he was fine. I just knew it. I was like, wherever he is, he's fine. He'll be great. Well, it's like day 3 or 4 or something, and I don't exactly remember how we found out that he had been arrested and put in jail, but he had some outstanding parking tickets. And man, Grand Prairie was like not playing around anymore. And I guess he got pulled over or something, over in Dallas somewhere. And they were like trying to make a case of him, make a point, example, make an example of him. And it was kind of wrong. But as a result, because he was there, he got to sit out, like, most of his ticket costs. So it's like, actually, he just kind of got, you know, three square meals in a bed, you know, for a couple of days and got to sit out some of his time. So he actually didn't even have to pay back some of those tickets. But it was so crazy. I remember going, oh, man, I gave that dude so much hard time. I love that moment. When I saw him in his orange jumpsuit, I took a picture. Yes, I did. I was there, and I was like, bro, how we doing? And it's so funny the way that the Lord worked all that out. He was fine. He came back. Everything's great. You know, who doesn't have parking tickets or, you know, who hasn't gotten pulled over for speeding? And he's become like one of the most responsible people I know now. But part of even the way that maybe he got to that point is some of those difficulties that we learn in our youth. We make some mistakes and we learn from them. You know, actually the test of a man is not the mistakes that they make, but what do they learn and how do they respond as a result of those mistakes? He's grown to be one of the most mature, like, you know, so responsible, incredible dad. But in that period of time, all these people are freaking out. Where is he? I just had a confidence. It was the Holy Spirit speaking. Now, again, I wish he would have given me more. He didn't. I just knew in my spirit, he's fine. He'll be okay. He's not dead. He's not even hurt. Wherever he's at, he's fine. And it's going to be a great story later. I kept saying that. It's going to be a great story later. And boy, I was right. I was prophesying there. It was a great story later. All right. One more story and then we'll quit for today. This is one where he was showing me his plans. Remember, I told you I wanted to do my best in these stories to not share stuff that like is happening now for me 20 years into the journey. I want to share some things that are earlier on so that you can track and go, I can believe for that. God could do that with me. I've known the Lord for a couple years. I can hear his voice. I want to give you those kinds of pictures. So I was walking with the Lord. I'd been trying to hear his voice for maybe a year, maybe not even that long. And I'm sitting one day, and I was praying for a friend that I hadn't seen in probably a year. It was a guy that I'd gone to school with in Denton for the brief moment that I was a college student. And I just hadn't seen him in about a year, and I was like, man, I just was hurting for him or praying for him. And all of a sudden, I felt like the Lord dropped a few phrases into my spirit that were weird. They were just weird. I felt like the Lord told me that he had to read a book called Surprised by the Voice of God. It was a book I had read, and it was a book even about what we're talking about today. But it was really weird that I felt the Holy Spirit say, you need to call him and tell him he needs to read this book, Surprised by the Voice of God. I was like, that's a weird thing to say. Second, I'm still praying. I'm still processing that. Then I heard the Lord say, he's also supposed to be reading Acts in this season because I have something for him in the book of Acts. And I was like, so I'm supposed to call this dude I haven't talked to in a year and tell him what his reading list is supposed to be? This is so weird. Okay. I called it right then. I was like, okay. So I call him. I go, hey, bro, Brad. Oh, man, good to hear from you, dude. Haven't heard from you in a while. Yeah, well, listen, I was praying for you, and I felt like the Lord said two things. I felt like he said, you need to read the book called Surprised by the Voice of God. I don't know if you've ever heard of that book, but you need to read it. And second, you need to read through the book of Acts. He's got something for you there. It's quiet on the other end of the phone. Dude, you there? Yeah, I'm here. What's going on? I'm reading through the book of Acts right now while you're calling me. And I felt like I was supposed to read through it in this season because I felt like the Lord showed me he had something for me in the book of Acts. And part of the reason for that is I've got such skepticism about God speaking. And someone gave me months ago a book called Surprised by the Voice of God. I'm looking at it right now. I've been refusing to read it for months because I thought it was probably heretical teaching. It was, you know, some guy who didn't know what he was talking about or whatever. And so, like, you're telling me right now I need to read through the book of Acts because you got something for me. I need to read this book. I'm looking at the book and I'm reading the book of Acts. He goes, this is crazy. And so he set himself in that season. He started reading the book that he already owned. It's sitting there on the counter. And he started reading through the book of Acts. And, you know, I didn't talk to him about how that went, but I guess the Lord gave him whatever he was after. The Lord was giving his plans. He was showing me his plans for my friend. But when I told my friend those plans, it rocked his world because he heard the voice of the Lord speaking to him. And he was giving him specific instructions. He's had this skepticism about this book, and now the Lord's telling me he needs to read the book, and now he's hearing God, not his friend Brad. He's hearing God say, bro, pick up the book and read the book. I'm trying to help you here, and you're ignoring my help. It's a great book. Pick it up and read it. And also stay in the book of Acts because I've got some stuff I want to communicate to you. Guys, here's my point with these stories. Would my life have changed at all if I wouldn't have prayed for that dude and wouldn't have called him? No, but I wouldn't have the story. Would those party girls, would their lives have been, you know, could the Lord have spoken a different way or impacted them or convicted them another way? Sure, but I wouldn't have a story. You know, the whole confidence thing when Peter's was in jail, it's like the Lord gave that to me to bond us. He gave that to me as a leader. He gave that to us as a community to go, we can trust the Lord in times of that are trying. We can trust that the Lord will give us, you know, confidence and stuff. Like, guys, he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak and he's willing to. And I'm trying to just share with you kind of like the most simple stories ever so that you will press in and learn how to hear his voice. I'll just end with this, and then Andy, you come on up. It is essential that you get these stories for yourself. It is essential that you learn how to hear his voice and that you do whatever it takes to make that happen in this season.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.